Let's open our Bible again to Esther chapter 8. Esther chapter 8. I want to kind of pick up where we left last week. And I want us to read again. I don't know how many times we've read these verses, but I want us to read them again. Verses 15 through 17 there in Esther chapter 8. Well, how gracious our Lord is to spare his people. These were not just Jews, these were our brothers and sisters. These were children of Abraham, the elect of God, who God spared. He spared them from the wrath of Haman. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. I titled the lesson last week, From Sadness to Gladness. And the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. They had light. You imagine for so long they were living in darkness and despair. And now they have light and gladness and joy and honor. And that describes us after God has showed us mercy. And in every province, there was not a one that was left out, 127. And in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the good news of the preaching of the gospel, the Jews had joy and gladness. Boy, they're glad now. They're tickled to death. We're not going to die. We're not going to die. And they had a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land, these Gentile dogs, these bunch of pagans who've lived in darkness all their life, became Jews. For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. What was the good effect of this deliverance? This amazing situation where God has delivered his people, that many of the people of the land became Jews. Probably most of them despised them at one time. Some of them maybe not have cared that they were going to die. And they became Jews. And I hope that that doesn't mean that they were just proselyted. I hope that that doesn't mean that they were just mentally give consent and say, well, I don't want to. I've seen the judgment that they were under, and now they're not under, so I want to be a Jew, but I hope that they were converted. It's amazing how God works to save his people. Look at all they had to go through. Look at the sentence of death. Look at Haman, he looked like he had free reign over everything. But all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He used all that to save his people. What if Esther had not been in Shushan the palace? What if Mordecai had not been in Shushan the palace? Why did God leave them there? Well, we know God put them there to save these people. These Gentile dogs. They turned from their idolatry and they worshiped the one true and living God. You imagine the darkness they lived under for years. Didn't know any different. They were just like the Babylonians before them. They'll be just like the Greeks after them. They're all the same. All worshiping themselves. And now they worship the one true and real God. The one God, those who once despised this God, now bow to him. They believed him. They said, we become Jews. We're willing to be identified with those hated people. Hated people. I thought about Mordecai now as he comes out, as Mordecai reigns. What a picture of our Lord after he rose from the dead and ascended back to glory and now reigns upon his throne. And you know what happened after that? He turned to the Gentiles, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And he's still doing that. Even this tragedy that happened with that tornado, that we know that's no accident. We know that it was the hand of God. We know that. And when we went through the book of Revelation, you know what these are? These are trumpets. These are warnings that God warns men that life is so frail, so frail. You know, you can be warned that the storm is coming, but it's not going to stop it. That's all men can do is to be warned. But God can even use that, and he does use that to save his people. Matthew 4:16, the people, this is our Lord speaking when he began his earthly ministry. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Light, there's hope. You can imagine those people. You imagine walking out there after the sun comes up. Now you can see. You can't see the devastation in the darkness, and to walk out there and your whole home's gone. A whole factory's just laid flat. You imagine that. Darkness and despairs. When the Gentiles heard this in Acts 13:48, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained unto eternal life believed. God knows just exactly how to save his people, and he knows where they're at, whether it's in Shushan the palace or in the United States of America or wherever that it is, he's going to save them. The Jews had joy and gladness, and many of the people of the land became Jews. These people watched those Jews. And you know, people watch you. You may not think they do, but they do. And you can't help it. You didn't mean for it to happen, but before they seen the Jews, how? With sackcloths and ashes. Despaired. Depressed. Cast down. Now they're not that way. Why do you have such joy? Why do you have such peace? They saw these Jews. They saw things turn. These people that were appointed unto death now have life and have hope, and their hearts are filled with joy. When they observed how wonderful divine providence had owned them and wrought for them in this critical matter, they saw it. Listen, it reminded me of Rahab the harlot, woman living in Jericho, an accursed city. Everybody in the city is appointed to die. The first city they're going to take over in Canaan. And they was living in that city, an old harlot. And they all heard what God did. They all heard about drying up the Red Sea. They all heard what he did to Pharaoh's army. And she said, as soon as we heard these things, heard what? Faith comes by hearing. She believed. Their God did what? Our God can't do that. Their God did what? And this happened 40 years earlier, and they're still talking about it. Our hearts did melt. And there remained no more courage in any man. For the Lord your God is the God of heaven above and in the earth beneath. That's why these people believed. They don't know. They heard the decree of sentence of death. Now they heard the decree of life. And they believed. Listen in Zechariah 8:23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages, of all nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. You know what they'll say? we're going to go with you, for we've heard that God's with you. God's with you. God was with them people. God was with Esther. God was with Mordecai. And God is with his people. And they said, we've heard that God, we've heard where you go, they preach the gospel. We've heard there. We want to hear the gospel too. Oh, that men would have a desire to hear the gospel, like these people want to become Jews. Another example, you know, Rahab, she was a Gentile, and Ruth, she was a Gentile, she was a Moabite. And as she's going back with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Naomi said, why don't you old girls just go on back? Nothing, I'm too old to have children. You wouldn't wait around for my children till they were grown to marry them. And Ruth said, entreat me not thee, or to return from following after thee. For where you go, I'll go. And where you lodge, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. What did Ruth know about God? How did she learn it? She learned it from Naomi. She'd never saw Jerusalem. Now she had saw her mother-in-law's husband die. She had saw her two sons die. And then she sees her sister-in-law go back. It cost too much. But Ruth went with her because she's heard. Oh, that God would give people, to see some Ruths, that they would leave Moab, left it, and just happened to light upon the field of Boaz. Someone said, when the church prospers and is smiled upon, many will come into it. When at other times they are shy of the church when it is in trouble. They plainly saw in Haman's fate, if any offered injury to the Jews, it was to their own peril. And therefore, for their own security, they joined themselves to them. Basically, who's on the Lord's side? They saw it. They knew what happened. And they knew who did it. They knew who did it. Haman, the one they once bowed to, he's dead. You know why he's dead? He's no match for the God of Israel. Oh, I love it when it says that God reveals his mighty arm. His arm's not shortened that he can't save. God does as he pleases. He doesn't ask permission. When he intends to save some, he's going to save them. He raises up whole nations and puts down whole nations just to save them. He put down a whole city just to save Rahab. Ruth, the only one that was brought out of Moab. Ruth, the only one. He saves his people for his own namesake. Isaiah 49:6, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee, talking about Israel, for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. You know what Israel, what they were supposed to be? Witnesses of God's grace. The only place the gospel was at in the Old Testament in the wilderness was in the camp of Israel. At one time, the only place it was in the house of Jacob. The only place in the house of Jacob. Let me give you an example of this, talking about when they had saw what God did for them. Like I said, the world watches you. They watch your response. How do you respond? How would have we responded if we'd have been those people who our house had just been destroyed? How would we have responded? I hope gracefully. Paul and Silas were cast into prison. If you want to turn there in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. You know, remember, they were cast in there for preaching the gospel. What did they do while they were there in prison? It would have been very easy to have complained and felt sorry for ourselves. And it said at midnight. There's a lot of things happened in the scriptures at midnight. Midnight, the darkest of the night. Midnight, the time between 2 days. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. The prisoners heard them. Okay, I can imagine if there was noise going on when they began to pray and begin to praise God, it got real quiet. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. God shook things up. God knows just exactly how to shake things up. So that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now you know when he did that, he got everybody's attention. What in the world is going on? Why did this happen? And immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bands were loosed. Can you imagine sitting there in prison and the door slings open and the chains fall off? That got my attention. Why did that happen? Why did this happen? God moved. God moved. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, God must awake men out of their spiritual slumber. And he, seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled, because it meant death to him if any prisoner was out. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what in the world must I do to be saved?" Wouldn't you love to hear somebody ask that question? You know why they were cast into prison? You know why God sent the earthquake to save this man right here? To save this old guard, this old prison guard. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. What an amazing thing. And I believe right there, that man and his family and Lydia's is how God established a little church called Philippi. The book of Philippians. So you see, as those Jews, they turned and believed, or these heathens, this man believed God. I thought of another account. One day the Assyrians were attacking the Israelites, and they came to this one house. They may have killed all the rest of her family, and one little maid was taken captive. And just so happens, she winds up in a man's house. She was probably their housekeeper, of a man named Naaman, the Syrian. who just happens to be a leper. And he tries to hide it. But you know, it's hard to hide it when you're at home. He can't keep it hid, and she knew it. And she told Naaman's wife, said, you know, there's a prophet in Israel. And I don't know, but just maybe if Naaman could get to that prophet, he may be healed. Her name's not mentioned. But she, how many of us would like to have been taken captive? Well, we wouldn't have, we just said, I don't like this. I don't like living in a strange place. These people speak a strange language. But no, she was put there. That girl was put there for the salvation of that man. God maybe has put you right exactly where you are to cross somebody's path for the salvation of his people. And there in verse 17, it says, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast and good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. They turned to God from their idols to serve the living and true God. They turned from them. Like I said, the world watches you. They see how you react to a situation. I remember saying where I used to pastor, I don't know how many times I mentioned it. I said, you know, we say we believe that God's sovereign. We say that. Do we believe that? Do we really believe God's sovereign? I said, you just wait. God will put us in situations which will try our faith. And I thought about Job. Here's an example. You imagine losing everything. All of his children, all of his means of making money. He loses everything but one thing, which is his wife. What's Job going to do? How will he respond to this? Job arose, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, and he fell down upon the ground and he worshiped. And here's what he said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now we can rejoice when the Lord gives. But what about when he takes away? Blessed be the name of the Lord. How in the world can that man do that? I can tell you exactly how he can do it. It's called grace. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though the worms eat this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He believed God. That's the only way. Mordecai believed God. Esther believed God. David worshiped God. Bathsheba was pregnant with that with a baby. And it's sick. And David, he knows the Lord's told him that he was going to take the child, but David did not cease to pray for that child. Prayed that maybe God would show him mercy and spare the child. And then God took the child. And what will David do? David rose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. And he came into the house of the Lord and he worshiped. Then came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him and he did eat. Because they were afraid to tell David. Remember, if you remember the story, they saw how David mourned and grieved when the child was sick. And they said, well, if he mourned like that, when we go in there and tell him that the child's dead, he won't be able to handle it. And David just gets up and washes his face. And they said, where are you going, David? He said, I'm going to the house of God. Why are you going to the house? I'm going to go worship God, because whatever God does is right. God has sent light into this dark world. He sent light into this pagan land. And now we come to chapter 9. Let's read verses 1 through 4. We don't know how long this was from the time Haman's death. I think it's probably going to be another 6 months before the day that was appointed where the Jews would be killed. And that law was still in effect. It was never changed or altered. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near, the day they had dreaded is here. The 13th day of the 12th month. The decree drew near to be put in execution. In the day, now watch this, that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. Oh, we can't wait to that day. We're going to show them something. And I believe mostly it was probably the Amalekites. It may have been some of the others. They said, we just can't wait. We're looking forward to that day. We're going to treat them like dogs. Wait, oh, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had power over them that hated them. How was this turned around? I believe God did it. They assumed, oh, but that ain't what happened. The day has finally arrived. This day that should have been death to all the children of God is a day of feasting. And what I see here, there is a day appointed. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. All men shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a day appointed. But for children of God, we don't have to fear it. We don't have to be afraid. You know why? He has put away my sin. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We don't have to be afraid. It's a day of feasting. The enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. The enemy of your soul right now wants to reign over you. They want to. That's what they seek to do. Let me tell you this. Sin shall not have dominion over you. If it does, there's something wrong. Now, our nature, it's still, old man, it's still towards sin. But it shall not rule because Christ reigns. Haman is a dead. Mordecai reigns. Mordecai has the ring. Someone else reigns in our hearts. What turned those people from being idolaters to Jews? God did a work in their heart. You know you've passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Either he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He said they've hated me and they're going to hate you. And that has never changed. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 13. Now we know this was based under the covenant and this is Esther. They're still under the covenant of works, and the Lord, talking to Israel, shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. He said, you'll be the head and not the tail. You will rule over these things. They will not rule over you. We have many enemies. Now listen, children, that would love to dominate us. Love to. They would love for you to be their servant, their slave. Haman said, when this day comes, and this is why he made the decree, I'm going to kill every Jew I can find. Why did he want to do that? Because he wanted to stop the Son of God from coming into this world. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'll read you this. I'll read you several verses there. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like the world does in the vanity of their mind. They have their understanding darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now watch this. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. As I said last week, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And he's going to list a list of things that would try to dominate us. Let all bitterness. Can you become bitter? Well, sure you can. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now grace reigns. Kind one to another, tenderhearted. And you can't make yourself tenderhearted, but he can. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He that's been forgiven of much loveth much. Do you need forgiveness? Boy, I do. There's never a day we don't need forgiveness. And we see it. And others need forgiveness. Colossians 3, turn over there. Verse 1, if you be risen with Christ, or since you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you are dead. Do you see that? You are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. They want to rule over you. It's not all the outward things. It's the things from within that I have the biggest problem with. Mortify your members. And then he lists fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil conspicuousness, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now put off all these things. And he lists these things again. Anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Why does he talk about things coming out of your mouth? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have anger, then it's going to be wrath. It seems like it grows. You get angry, not the sun go down upon your wrath, and then blaspheme. Then filthy communications becomes out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what's this? Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Oh, that those things would reign instead of the other things reigning. And it seeks to reign. Did you not hear what they said? Did you not see what they did? And it wants to reign. And it wants to steal your joy, doesn't it? And verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. What rule? Peace. Oh, peace. Oh, when peace rules. No wars, peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace rules. To which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. Then there in verse 2, we see where the Lord's people were gathered together in the cities throughout all the province. I see them gathering together to worship, and they gathered together and fight. Nehemiah said in 4:20, in what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet, you hear the sound of the gospel, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. We're gathered here this morning. God gathered us. We're in this together. You imagine if they, you know, there was a lot of provinces and there were a lot of cities and they gathered together. We don't have to be afraid. I'm here to tell you this morning, we don't have anything to be afraid of. We're gathered here today. I know the day is coming. But they could have said, like, the day after tomorrow is the day. What are we going to do? We're going to believe God. Because the decree has been made that we can defend ourselves. I could see the little groups gathering in cities all over the provinces of the Medes and the Persians. And it says there that no one could withstand them. The Jews can't stand, the enemies can't stand before them. God said in Deuteronomy 11:23, there shall no man be able to stand before you. He told Joshua, there shall not be any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And you know what happened when Israel sinned? You know what happened? When Achan sinned, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Now they're running from the enemy. Imagine being able to stand and not being afraid because we stand in Christ. You imagine if the decree had not been made and these people were to come, they couldn't have stood before them. But now they stand. And after Israel had confessed their sin, after Achan sinned, the Lord said, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself against Tamar. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing. And then they were able to stand. You remember Ephesians chapter 6? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having on the helmet of salvation. Then we see there in verse 3, and all the rulers of the provinces, and all the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. It was either a slavish fear or it was a reverential fear. Either way, they knew Mordecai had the authority and he reigned. And they helped the Jews. Reminds me in the book of Revelations when it said the earth helped the woman. This world only exists to help God's people. They help them. The lieutenants, the governors of all them provinces, they helped them. I could see them come up and say, y'all need anything? Well, we want you to know that when they come tomorrow, we're going to defend you. We're here to help you. Why would anybody want to help us? Then verse 4. And Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. Have you heard of Mordecai? He wears the king's ring. He's the one the king delights to honor. Have you ever heard of the Lord Jesus Christ? That sits upon the throne of glory, shows mercy to whom he will show mercy, and whom he will ill hardeneth. He puts all enemies under his feet. He just waxed greater and greater. Remember what it said about David. 2 Samuel 3:1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David waxed stronger and stronger. And the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. It may seem like the enemy has the upper hand, but you remember this. Our Lord waxes greater and greater. He rules. What a picture of salvation and of our God and how he turns things around for his glory. And several of y'all have told me how much you've enjoyed this book. I've enjoyed it. There's so little that's written upon this book, but such a beautiful picture of how God saves and delivers us in this day in which we live. This is the day in which we live. This is where God's put us for such a time as this. And may God give us favor with men, that they might have a desire to hear the gospel. Amen.